want to welcome everyone who is watching live on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or listening on podcast. It's good to have you with us as well. This, of course, is Easter Sunday, and the word I feel God wanted me to share with you is called Better Water. Are we on? Did that go down? Okay, I've got so much electricity in my body, this thing isn't... You and I need a couple of elements to live. We need air to breathe, especially in here. We need fire, which keeps us warm, cooks our food. And you and I need water as well. Water to hydrate ourselves, for our crops and our animals to be hydrated, and also to wash. So I'm going to look at a word today that I'm calling better water. And I just want to pray before I begin, if that's okay. I ask you, O Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that you would send your Holy Spirit on every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in this place today. And whatever word that comes from heaven into someone's soul, I pray would never be forgotten. Amen. But anything that I come up with of my own sense, let that be forgotten straight away. It's all about you, Jesus. So come and bless the word today, this Easter Sunday, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So better water. I'm going to be looking at Matthew 27. Many of you will know it. For some of you, it mightn't be that well known. But I'm going to bounce from what happened on Good Friday to towards Easter Sunday. So, brothers and sisters, it all began with... a kiss. Book of Proverbs says, your friend might wound you, but he or she does it faithfully, but an enemy will kiss you and be totally deceitful. And you know, I'm sure, that Judas Iscariot went and kissed the cheek of Jesus as a sign. There were no streetlights back then, and the Jewish temple police wanted to arrest Jesus, and so Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and the sign was that he would kiss the one who they needed to arrest, which was Jesus. And it goes on, and I'm sure many will know how Jesus was then arrested by what was known as the temple guard. They were the police service of the Jewish temple. There was a sham or a fake trial by the Jews of Jesus. He was then brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Whatever religious decision they made had to be approved by the governor under the Roman authority of the Roman Empire. His name was Pontius Pilate. And they brought false accusations against him. So this is the context. Let's just briefly look at the conversation and the happening that took place after that. Verse 12 of chapter 27 says, Pilate looked at Jesus and said to him, don't you hear what they're accusing you of? Because it was false accusations, slander, wicked lies. Maybe you went through that in your life, that people lied about you. And that really hurts, doesn't it, when someone lies against you because they've got an evil intention. So Pilate is a tough man. He would kill you or me in a heartbeat. He was also incredibly streetwise, and he was used to judging people. Immediately we see Pilate knows something's up here. Pilate knows there's a bad smell about this false accusation. And when Pilate asked Jesus that, don't you hear what they're accusing you of? We're told in verse 14, but Jesus remained silent to every charge, so that Pilate was greatly amazed. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to some people here today, people are saying stuff about you, and this is God's word for some here, be silent. You don't have to defend yourself. The Lord wants to defend you. He can move situations. He can bring people in and take people out. He's the God who opens doors that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man or woman can open. Hallelujah. He is your defender. So for some here today, I believe that's a living word. See, the Bible is not some dead book of theology. When I was a kid, I asked about the Bible, and I remember my aunt saying, it's just another book. It's not, it's the Word of God. And it comes alive, and it speaks into your everyday and my everyday. Into your night, my night. It's alive. It's God's love letter. Sometimes a verse will come alive, and it will give you such wisdom, and it will give you such direction in the chaos of life, that you'll know the right decision to make. So Jesus remains silent. Pilate is amazed, and it took a lot to amaze him. And then we see something strange. He gets a note. As Pilate was still on the judgment seat, his wife sent him word saying, don't harm that righteous man. I've suffered much today in a dream about him. So Pilate's wife, we don't even know her name. She comes into the narrative and then she disappears. What we do know, they were not followers of Jesus, but this woman was spiritual enough to pick up, as it were spiritually, that a terrible injustice was happening. And she sent word to her husband, and no matter how cruel Pilate was, no matter how much of a bully he was, he obviously respected his wife, and he listened to his wife. Brothers, sometimes, very often, we need to listen to our wives. I heard no male voices saying amen. Can I hear a couple of men saying amen?
Amen.
Can I hear the married men say amen?
Amen.
My beloved wife, Denise, the love of my life. Denise was 15, I was 17. I don't know, that makes me a criminal, I suppose. We met in the city hall at the back to schools disco back in the 70s. But over the decades, we're married 44 years now. And over the years, she has protected me. Denise has been a voice of wisdom in my ear. So I am a fool if I don't listen to my wife. May I submit as well, wives, it's good to listen to your husbands. Okay, that's not as enthusiastic. You love one another, you trust one another, listen to one another. Pilate, waster that he was, listened to his wife. And what we see here is that sometimes, even when someone doesn't know Jesus, even when someone is not a believer, God can break into their lives and he can speak in dreams. It is so encouraging. Let me give you two very short facts. First of all the research is telling us that over the last couple of years, across Europe, which is the least religious and spiritual continent in the world, Christianity is exploding in Africa, exploding in the Americas. In Brazil, right now, almost one in two people are born again. Hallelujah. It's the same in Asia. It's the same in Australia. There's a great move of God. Europe was always the hardest, the coldest, the toughest. And yet in Europe, over the last few years, 2 million more people are going to churches like this than they were before. And you know who the biggest group who are coming to faith are? Young men and women aged 18 to 24. That's the big group. There is a hunger, particularly among young people. And they know, this I don't need God doesn't work, because we're all broken. Can I hear an amen? Admit you're broken. We're all broken. None of us have it all together. That's why we need him. And sometimes God will break into a dream. That's fact number one. Fact number two is the country of Iran, one of the most vicious Muslim nations. Vicious. They have slaughtered Christians in that country. Millions of men and women across Iran where the gospel is forbidden, in their dreams, this is true, they've been dreaming about someone called Jesus coming into their dreams. So there is a huge search going on. So literally millions of Iranians are now secret believers in Jesus. Why? Because of dreams. God came into their dreams. They were like Muslim or they were secular Muslims, and God broke into their dreams. If you have someone in your life that you love and they're not close to God, or maybe you're here and you know you're not close to God, I'm going to pray tonight. This is the 20th of April, the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm going to pray that God would speak through a dream to someone you love, or maybe to you if you need that sign. Who's up for that prayer? If that's you, if there's someone you love and you want God to speak to them in a dream, just where you are, just raise your hand. If you don't, that's fine. There's no judgment here. We don't have any policemen here. But I can think of someone I love, and I'm going to pray God breaks into their lives tonight in a dream. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would supernaturally work in the lives of every name that has been lifted before you now. As we lift our hands, we put their name in our hands and we hand them over to you. Oh God, will you rescue them? Oh God, will you break through to them? We'll let their dream tonight be from heaven. And let them somehow see that Jesus is calling them to rescue them, to heal them, and to deliver them. We pray a supernatural dream tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. So Pilate's wife doesn't know anything, but she knows there's something up. And when I became a Christian at the beginning, I didn't know an awful lot, but I knew he was calling me. And so Pilate knew in his own gut, he knew by his own judgment, his wife breaks through to him and he trusts her. And so look at what he does. He asks the crowd, what do I do with Jesus? So the crowd are there. What do they answer? Crucify him. The crowd shouted back. That's verse 22. And if you read into it, we know that the Jewish leaders were going around saying, they crucify him. Shall not crucify him. You see, they were jealous of the power of Jesus because their ministry was nothing. And he was raising the dead and healing the sick. And people's lives were transformed. And so they were jealous and they got the crowd to shout back, crucify him. This tells us where Pilate's heart and mind were. Why? What evil has he done? Pilate asked the crowd. That man has done no evil. What are we told? When Pilate saw a riot was starting, he publicly washed his hands in water, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. Psychiatrists will tell you that sometimes people who wash their hands constantly are really guilty. If you see someone, their hands are red raw from scrubbing, they're subconsciously really guilty of something. Pilate thinks that the water he has chosen makes him innocent. You're not innocent, Pilate. You have the power to make a choice. You see, I was Pilate for 2 years. Marguerite Darrington, are you out there somewhere? I know you're going to hate me for this. Marguerite, where are you? Would you stand up? Do you see this beautiful woman? I was 16, you were probably 17, something like that. And I was drunk inside in the city centre with the lads. And out of the blue, down in the Grand Parade, she doesn't remember it, God does. She came up and she gave me a leaflet and said, do you know Jesus loves you? All of the lads, well done, Marguerite. I was with a big bunch of lads and they all laughed at her and I went, ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. And you know what I was doing for 2 years, Marguerite? I kept doing this. I kept washing my hands. And I kept saying, Jesus, yeah, Jesus was a good man, you know. He was a good teacher, I'm sure. Maybe he was even a prophet. But I've got my reputation to think about. What will the lads think of me if I believe what this strange girl who came, not strange girl, you just were a stranger, all right? This girl I didn't know, Tom! Don't pick your words right. What will the lads think of me if I become a Jesus lover? And what will my father think? Oh, my father would kill me. He did, by the way. He killed me anyway. See, I was washing my hands, brothers. I was washing my hands, sisters. I was saying, Jesus is a good man, I'm sure, but I don't want to pay the cost. So I choose the water that Pilate chose, and I literally said, no. Good man, but no. Good man, I'm sure, but no. Pilate was worried about his reputation. Pilate was worried about his career. Pilate was worried about his prestige, his wealth. He was more concerned about that than he was about a man about to be crucified who he knew was innocent, who his wife knew was from God in as much as she could. And so Pilate washed his hands, and the water he chose was a guilty water. And I choose that water, and I would submit to you most of us did that at some stage in our lives. And when he said that, the people in the crowd said, his blood be on us and upon our children. The Jews shouted back even louder. And you know what? They brought judgment on themselves and on their children and on their children's children. You read history, within a generation, the Romans destroyed the temple, plowed salt into the land, banished the Jewish people from the land of Israel. And for almost 2,000 years, they were banished from the land all over the world. But yet, just over 100 years ago, the beginning of the end times started when they began to come back to the land God had chosen them. I'm not getting into the politics here, but I am saying this spiritually. Keep your eye on what's happening in Israel, because the Bible says that marks the end of the world. That marks something called Armageddon. That marks something where the world as we know will end. And so, when Pilate washed his hands, it was as if something was beginning, that we are fortunate enough today, perhaps, to see the second coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We don't know the day. But they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. My question to you is, and I say it because I was one of them, are you one of Pilate's people today? Are your hands wet as the holy water feeling? You're jealous down there. You've no holy water. Are we one of Pilate's people? Because for 2 years I was one of Pilate's people. Jesus is a good man. Jesus was a nice teacher. Here's the thing. Jesus never gave us that choice. There are only two choices. Here's the words from the man himself. Jesus said, I am what? The
way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except
through me. No, either Jesus was a gangster and was lying, or that's the truth. The Pilate people say, I don't really believe that because he was a good man, but my reputation is more important. I want to be popular. I want to be successful. I want to have a good name. I want to be one of the cool guys. I don't want to be one of those Christians. And yet Jesus said, there's either one way or the other. There is no purgatory, with the greatest of respect. There is heaven and there is hell. And I know some of you hate me already for saying it, but I've got to be right before God, because I will be judged for what I speak here. There is heaven if you follow him, or there is hell if you refuse. Thing is, some people refuse in a vicious way, but most people refuse in a nice way. Ah, well, that's your thing. Well, I'm glad it works for you. You know what? It's meant to work for everyone. Amen. And our philosophy, our passion, we have spent all our lives, all my adult life, we have poured our time, our talent, our treasure into building the church. Why? Right. We doing it for the money? Forget it. Nobody makes money in Cork from something like Christian faith. Are we doing it to be popular? It's the opposite. Well, it was. It's changing. Are we doing it for prestige? No. People ask me, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a pastor. They go, oh my God. You don't do what you're doing for something you get in this life. We're building treasure in the next life. Hallelujah. Now here's the awful truth, horror of horrors, every one of us will die. And we'll have to come before him. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? Because for 2 years, if I had been knocked down by a bus, I'd have wet hands and I'd have said, Jesus, he's a good teacher, but no, I've got other things to consider. I am the way, the truth, the light. Don't believe the lie in the culture that says there's many ways to God. No, there's not. With the deepest of respect to people of other faiths, and I mean that sincerely, we're not into hate speech, but we do strongly believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says there's only one way. And what's his name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, can I submit you? There is a better water that you can choose this Good Friday. What is the better water? The Greek word is baptizo. It means to totally immerse. It means to submerge. It means to dunk down. Again, with the deepest of respect, and I'm not attacking anything or anyone, we're not talking about babies who are christened with the sprinkling water. This, in the Bible, was always someone old enough to know right from wrong. That's why we have a rule of thumb, you've got to be 15 or over. We pray blessing dedication on our babies, but you've got to make the call yourself. And then you go fully under the water. Fully under the water. And so you can choose Pilate's washing of hands. Do you ever meet someone and they're talking to you and they're doing this as they're talking to you? When I see that, I always go, what are you so guilty of? Their words don't say it, but their body language does. They're guilty. Like a subconscious washing of the hands. Have freedom in your life. Have peace in your life. Jesus Christ takes away our guilt. Amen. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Pilate keeps washing his hands, but there are 29 people today who are choosing a better water. Who's going to say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
This is what Paul said in Acts 22:16. And now, what are you waiting for? Rise up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away. The blood of Jesus washes us clean from our sins. But baptism is a symbol. So when each one goes under the water, it is a symbol that they're clean inside. Hallelujah. Who's getting baptized today? Just put up your hands wherever you are. Amira, Paul, you're going to be clean inside today. Hallelujah. You're clean. All of you are clean. It's a symbol. It's like bread and wine. It's like the anointing oil for healing of the sick. It's symbolic of what God does. So you're choosing a better water. Let me read you one more scripture. This is from the Message version, Romans 6:3-4. When we are lowered into the waters of baptism, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. So when you go under the water, it's like your funeral. But when you come up out of the water, it's symbolic of the new you. So there will be 29 funerals here today. But hallelujah, there will be 29 resurrections here today as well. Hallelujah! So we don't need to do the Pilate thing. We can do the Jesus thing. Praise God. So on this Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, 2025, are you one of Jesus' people? Okay, there was a few over there said yes. Is there anyone else a Jesus person?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are the Jesus people. It's not just our church. It's churches all over the city and the country. Other people who love God, who have come to accept Jesus and are following him. We're not some exclusive cult or something. God forbid. Amen. What are we? We're followers of Jesus. Amen. What's our agenda? We don't have one, other than to point you to Jesus. Amen. So brothers and sisters, the Jesus people, what are they? The Greek word is ecclesia. That word means we're called out. We're called out from one way of life to live another way of life. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're without sin. But it does mean we're forgiven. Hallelujah. So we're called from living a lower way of life to a higher way of life. Where God comes into our dreams. Where we get a love for people that's not natural, it's supernatural. Where we see God working in miraculous ways in our lives. Where people who were addicted are set free. Hallelujah. Where people who are suffering with mental health know healing, because he heals broken minds, amen, broken bodies, and broken hearts. Amen. That's the Jesus we heal. Yes. That's the life we're called to lead. So brothers and sisters, it's very simple today. If we are one of Pilate's people, like I was, like most of us were, we're going to give it the opportunity in total privacy for you to say to God today, I don't want to do life without you, God, anymore. I'm not a hand washer. I want to follow you. Brothers and sisters, there is a better water. 29 have chosen today. We do this twice a year. We're doing it again in September. By the grace of God, we already have 3 or 4, I think, who want to do it in September. But we're going to sing a song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Anyone know that song?
Yes.
Can we throw up the words there? Thank you, guys. Who's going to sing I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? And then we're going to give you the opportunity to ask and invite the Lord into your life. And then if you love God and you're a Jesus person, to just declare that here today. Can we stand, brothers, sisters, on this wonderful day when God is watching and God is listening? Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Your friends, if you're going to make a decision in a moment, might reject you, but Jesus won't. And you're not on your own. There's a whole community here. If you're a Jesus person, you're part of a community. God doesn't want anyone to do their faith on their own. We need one another. I need you, you need me, he needs her. We all need one another. We're going to sing this and then we're going to give you an opportunity. Let's just sing it through once, Steve.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Our eyes throughout the hall, on stage, off stage. I can't see your faces, I only see shadows. The lights are in my eye. If there's anybody here and you want to say, I've tried my life without God in it in a real way, I don't want to wash my hands, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe in time you'll get baptized, but today is just about a decision. With every eye in the house closed, in total privacy, we're going to say prayer together in a moment, but I need to know that we're not doing it into the air. I need to know there's people here who want to make that decision. So if that's you, would you just lift up your hand in total privacy? Nobody's watching. Okay? Okay? See your hand and yours? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. Praise God. Never forget this day, the 20th of April, 2025. Where is my Bible? See this little Bible I've had? Right in the front of it, I have written the day I became born again. It was the 28th of April, 1980. The day I was baptized in water, the 4th of May 1980. Never forget the day that you called on the name of the Lord. You know what's happening right now? Your name is being recorded in the book of heaven, the Lamb's book of life. Just like when you were born and you got a birth cert and the registry office registered your name, the same is happening spiritually. So I'm going to do a prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to say it in solidarity. But for those 10 people, it's really important you say this prayer. Are we ready?
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I welcome you today.
Come into my heart.
Come into my soul.
Come into my body.
Forgive me of my wrongdoing.
Wash me clean.
I want to follow you.
Be my leader.
My Savior.
My friend.
I pray.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's give those 10 guys a round of applause.